Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
So I haven't caught up on Lower Decks yet, but I did watch half of an episode and then I fell asleep. I need to watch it, bro, but I can't watch it while I'm working because I'll get into it and then I won't do anything.
You don't do anything now.
I mean, I work, you know, and then I get off of work and then I'm tired and I don't want to watch anything. You know, like it's a tangled web we weave.
Is it though?
No, I just keep forgetting.
Yeah, so I caught I didn't realize that this was the season finale. I was like, going, oh shit, it's the finale. No major guest stars, but it does follow up from the episode prior, and it's really cool. They're trying to get rid of the California class, so. You know, the captain decides that they're, you know, want to take on this fully automated ship, this Texas class that they want to deal with. And it's all, you know, automated guns ablazing and stuff like that. It's pretty hilarious. But they have this major battle sequence at the end and they're like, I sent a distress call to call the ships. It's like, what ships? She goes, all of them. And it's all the California class. And it's hilarious because they have like, oh my God. And Boimler's announcing each ship that comes in. So it gets really fast where he's like, oh my God, it's the Sacramento. It's the Bakersfield. It's the, and they named,
they named a ship Bakersfield.
I think they named one Bakersfield. One was, and two I thought were actually hilarious because they were from my side of the valley. One was Burbank. And I think the other one was Encino.
Jesus.
It was hilarious. It was like all these of the Costa Mesa. It was just all these California, clashes. I died loud. I was cracking up. I think I stopped it like twice to go back to hear all the different ships. It was hilarious. But, yeah, as the finale goes, it was actually pretty good. I definitely enjoyed it. Yeah, so it does follow the 9th and 10th episode or kind of like a two-parter, but it just continues. It doesn't really leave it on like a cliffhanger or something like that, or not a major cliffhanger. But yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. So I was like going, ah, now it's over. Now I just got to wait till, well, Prodigy's on now, but, you know, I mean, I may watch it. Who knows? But I just got to wait till I think Picard comes back, which is what, February?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I'm finishing, and I'm on, I think, episode 9 or 10 of Andor. And that show is really cool. I dig that show because we're getting a lot of world building. So we're getting to see a lot of like the Empire and like all that shit that's going on. Like, what's this? Andor is being held in a almost like a penal colony for the Empire. The way it's situated is actually really kind of cool. Like they don't have bars or anything like that. So they have to get in their cubicles because if they don't get into their bunks, within 30 seconds of an announcement, the floor actually gets, it's basically like electrified.
Mm.
And at one point you hear like in the middle of the night, all of a sudden you hear, bah, bah, psh, ah! And then they look out there and it was just some guy that just jumped on it. He was just tired of it and he just, like, committed suicide on it. It was like, fuck me, dude. Like, it's some crazy shit in there. But yeah, I'm digging it. I'm enjoying Andor. Some people are complaining about it, and I was like, it's an adult show, so it's kind of a slow burn. There's a lot more intrigue and politics and stuff like that. It's what you want when you, it, you know, people complain about Star Wars. It's like, it's the Skywalker stuff, and it's like, no, I want.
Here, we're still recording, but I have to open the door for my family. Wireless headphones, you know, we're in the future.
but yeah, so I dig it because of the fact that we get to see a lot of extra stuff that we don't normally see. So I'm enjoying that show. So, yeah. So with all of that being said,
sorry, my daughter is, loud.
So with all of that being said, this week's episode is part one of a 3-part, episode, really strong part one, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was good.
As you can hear Adam's excitement in there.
I'm sorry. Yes, it was great. No, I liked it.
I masturbated the whole time on
it. My dick's always out, you know.
That's true. When you don't wear pants, it's kind of that way, you know.
The good, the bad, you know, and the ugly. It's always out.
Yeah, when I get out of the shower, I put a towel around my chest. I let the rest breathe free. You know, that's just kind of how I do it.
That's right.
So... what's the episode this week?
So this one is Babel or Babel, whichever way you want to say it.
Tomato, one. Tomato.
Oh. Right. give me a second. I thought I had opened it, and I did not. So yeah, this is episode 12 of season 4, first aired on January 28th, 2005, ladies and gentlemen. Has it been that long? It
feels, you know, so long ago.
My twins are almost born. We're almost there. for better or for worse, we're almost there. This is episode 1 of 3 of the Romulan Interference. So the teaser was pretty interesting.
A lot going on, but really not a lot going on. I mean,
yeah, Shran's having a bad day.
Yeah, yeah.
His ship is all blown up and destroyed, and you know, Shran's being straight. First of all, Combs is an amazing actor. He fucking hams it up every time he's on the screen.
Tellarite, but, swine.
Right. So it looks, and they show it too, it looks like a Tellarite ship has attacked his ship, which is, you know, not nice. So now, of course, Shran being an Andorian, he has now vowed, you know, a blood oath basically to destroy Tellarites. And that was pretty much the teaser.
The ship
showing conflict.
Yeah, the ship was, you know, blown to shit, and then the warp core had to have a warp core containment breach, so he had to give the order to abandon ship. And I always liked that name, the Kumari.
Yeah.
I thought the name was kind of cool.
Kumari. And we roll into Act 1, ladies and gentlemen. And so we see Hoshi and Archer yelling at each other.
I thought it was kind of foreplay was going on in this.
Yeah, I thought we were watching something we weren't supposed to be watching. You know what I mean? But you come... so they're arguing, basically, complaining to each other. And... this is when you find out. I think this is the first time, canon-wise, that you find out that the Tellarites—that's how they communicate. They complain and argue.
Yeah.
And if you don't respond in kind, they'll be offended, which is something that Hoshi said. So Archer's not bad at it, by the way, as we go through this episode. I want to argue with Hoshi low-key.
That confidence she had when she was good, I was kind of like, okay, yeah. I see what's going
on. You can yell at me all you want.
It's fine. Exactly.
So why did I put Archer as a pro at checking a bitch? He checks somebody.
Well, Hoshi had said something. I can't remember what he said, and then he wasn't it about the food? I think he said that, well, perhaps, you know, he said something about
they'll complain about the food, or
yeah, and then he said, yeah, well, maybe you know, it'd be better eating something. And it was like, he came up with something pretty good. And she kind of gave that proud parent look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, he said that when she was explaining that they love to argue, he said they'd probably make good politicians. I put yuck, yuck, yuck. Like, it's the oldest joke of all time, I think. So they're going to this conference. This is one of those episodes of Star Trek where you don't really know why the humans are involved. Like, they give loose reason.
Well, because they can't go through Andorian space.
Right, but it's also retarded because if you're having a conference with someone, you can't go, well, you can't come through space, but you have to be here at this time. So it's just dumb. Like, they got to take a space Uber, which is basically what the Enterprise has become at this point.
They had the app. And
right. So they're orbiting Tella Prime, which is the home planet of the Tellarites. They've picked up the Tellarite ambassadors, and they're on their way to Babel, which is a planet, on the outskirts of Tellarite space, which borders with the Andorian space, so they can meet up over there. And even Trip was saying, now we're a shuttle service. For real, but that's all they fucking do.
That'd be funny if you see like one of the Lyft flashing signs on the front of the Enterprise as it goes through, you know.
For real. Well, then he meets the Tellarites, and they get out of the shuttle. I always find it awkward how you get out of a shuttle in Enterprise and you immediately get on the causeway and he's kind of climbing out of it. And just thought it was goofy. But then they shake hands. They haven't really said anything to each other yet. And the Tellarite's gripping that fucking hand. Like, all right,
bro. That was like, funny. Like, yeah. I was like going, oh, I was like, oh, it's a dick waving contest. Nice.
For real. So Tellarites are
ugly.
Well, they have pig faces. And they're kind of short. But yeah, they're kind of goofy looking.
I like Archer's first line to it was like, you're uglier than I remember.
Right. I was like, oh shit. But then you also see throughout the conversation as they're arguing with each other, the ambassador gives like a kind of a like a nod of approval.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's how they communicate. It is what it is. Tellarites, I put this to Tellarites need more screen time in Star Trek. First of all, they're founding members of the Federation.
Yeah,
and they're interesting.
And they were only shown in the TOS. Like, they were never really shown much after that. Well, were they in TNG? Oh, no, that am I thinking of that other race?
They were mentioned, they were never in it.
Yeah,
It's weird.
Yeah. It was funny, too, because, like, when they're walking down that causeway, and then, you know, the Tellarite goes, I'm told this ship is the pride of Starfleet. I find it small and unimpressive. And then Archer comes back with funny. I was about to say the same thing about you.
Dude. I would sign up for that job. Like, let me hang out with this cat. I'm going to talk so much shit. They ain't ready for 21st century roasting, bro. That's why your shoes don't fit. More fucking goofy looking bitch. Pink face having motherfucker. I'd be on it, dude.
Why'd you get your clothes, Kanye? What are the Yeezys?
And then so they go into to the mess.
Fucking Trip.
Trip is tripping. Well, actually, he didn't really do nothing. Archer fucking with him a little bit, but he goes, it's a like a breath of fresh air or whatever. Somebody seeing the Tellarites because they're honest with each other or whatever.
Did it seem like T'Pol was stepping up on him when he said that? Like
a little bit, yeah, a little bit. And then Archer spun around. He's like, do we have a problem? Do you have a problem with how we communicate on the ship or whatever? And Trip was tripping. He's like, oh shit. And then he just said, yeah, fuck all this. He leaves. And then Arch kind of smiles. He's just taking the piss out of him, basically.
It was so funny when he's like, well, maybe you have some words. He's like, and Trip's like, wait, I'm not sure if he's joking. Then he just leaves. And then when Archer turns away from the door, he gives that smile on his face.
That
I was like,
was so funny, dude.
I was like that. I go, this is the Archer I want, is the Archer that can have some fun.
Exactly.
You know, that's what I think was really missing with Archer.
Not be such a stuck up little bitch.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Roundhouse kiss a motherfucker, you know?
So they get in and they're, you know, they have food set up and the fucking Tellarites are complaining and then they complain about the food. They're like, so we had our chef cook up some Tellarite delicacies And the Tellarite said something that I've always thought in Star Trek, because the first thing they always do when they have foreign dignitaries on a ship is they make their food. Why would you make their food?
I think,
unless they specifically ask for, I guess it's to make them feel comfortable, whatever.
Yeah, I think.
But if I was on a foreign ship, I'd want their food. I want to taste their food. Okay. I can make my food at the crib. Don't give you a fucking hamburger.
Which is what homie said.
The Tellarite, look, he's like, if I wanted my food, I would have stayed home, bro.
Yeah, it's like, I want to taste that fried chicken. I want to taste that burger. I want to taste that quarter house that Trip was mentioning.
But then I'm gonna be real. His tone was a little tough. I was like, how many times has a Tellarite caught hands? Like, honestly, bro. Like, just talking to – even a Vulcan might smack him. Like, what the fuck are you talking to?
Archer looks at him and he's like, keep it up, and then I'm going to roundhouse kiss your ass out the – kick your ass out the airlock.
It's crazy because when you think about it, out of all the races in the – out of the four founding members, right, or the three that aren't human – I would think the humans would have the most trouble with the Tellarites, not the Vulcans, but because it's that shit talking. Because listen, human only got so much until he does that. All right, bro. Listen, if you don't shut the fuck up, I'm gonna come inside your fucking head. I'm just saying, bro.
It's like, look, I know we try to be diplomat, but you say about my mother one more time. Just say one more time. Suddenly turns into Samuel L. Jackson. Say what again? Say what again?
Say it again. So then we find out, they call Archer. We find out that there's a distress call from an Andorian ship. You find out it's Shran. You got to help the homie Shran.
Of course.
First of all.
I mean, you know, it's Shran, you know, of all people.
In all of the Alpha Quadrant, these two motherfuckers keep bumping into each other. Typical Star Trek.
It's like, it's Shran. It's like, this motherfucker. What this you do fuck. Now? What you do now?
He's just fucking Shran. Starting to become a buddy cop
movie. You know? He's like, it appears to be Shran. This motherfucker. The hell he do this time?
So it's pretty sad, though, because they beam the survivors up. We got 19 living out of a crew of 96.
Damn, dude.
Rough.
Yeah.
And Shran is on – he's usually tense, but he's super tense right now. Like, and he was kind of hovering over the dock while he was looking over the first officer.
I like that. I like how he was just like – how Phlox is like, yo, bro. Give me some room.
Can you give me 10 feet?
I'll settle for 2, but can you give me 10?
Then Archer comes in and basically de-escalates. And then now they're drinking buddies. That's the next scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're drinking buddies now. Oh, no. We're in the armory first.
Yeah. Because they're looking at the damage.
Reed's looking at the damage, and he's saying that...
That
she can see the sensor logs and she sees a Tellarite ship firing, and they said
the debris had the particles of a Tellarite weapon,
right? And then Archer orders the Enterprise to proceed to Andoria at maximum warp speed. So now they're not going to Babel anymore. Yeah. Now we're doing something else.
Well, they want to the crew. He wants to get the crew. Yeah, they're dropping
the crew off.
Yeah. So it suddenly becomes, what is it called, an Uber Plus? Is that the one that...
Yeah, yeah, the share ride.
Yeah, the share.
Now it's the city one that you take when you broke, bro. You fucking sit everybody else. So now we're in...
Then they go to the
Tellarite's place.
Yeah.
And they're questioning them. They deny attacking the Andorians. Well, of course they didn't deny. They didn't attack them. Yeah. This is such a weird line of questioning. And then so they deny it. And then Archer's, you know, shows the sensor logs as proof. Grail says something that's incredibly true, that these can be fabricated, because 9 out of 10 times they're fabricated in Star Trek, you know. So no one's really the bad guy. I mean, the Tellarite's being real standoffish, but that's just how they are. But he's being accused of something, and he's right. Like, I didn't fucking do that. What are you talking about? And then they find out that they're on their way to Andoria now to drop them off, and the Tellarites are tripping because they're like, no, because they're going to fucking arrest us when we get there.
And you don't know what it's like being in an Andorian jail.
For real. A man can only endure so much.
I'm not experiencing that train again. What? No, nothing.
So now we're in the captain's quarters, captain's dining room. Shran and Archer are enjoying a bottle of Andorian ale. Drinking buddies, bro. They're fucking straight hanging out.
This was a cool little scene. I
thought it was too.
I thought it was really cool. When Shran talks about that chick that came over is his chick, and he's like, yeah, you know, I didn't think that.
It's the same chick from all the other ones, his first officer, but they right. started to they started a relationship, and then you find out because Shran says Andorian women are a little bit more forceful than human women.
Yeah,
so he I don't think he had a choice.
He's like, he goes, well, I had two choices. He goes, I could have had her arrested for insubordination, or I could mate with her. Chose to mate with her.
And then Archer said something a real homie would say, is like, well, hopefully you made the right choice, because you never know.
Yeah,
you know, especially when you're dating your first officer. That's a little weird.
Yeah, start pulling, you know, when you'd have a disagreement, it's like, that's why you have a small dick. It's like, whoa.
I think we need like, that's why you couldn't get it up last night, honey. It's like, we gotta have two hats here, okay? Can't. So Shran, of course, is convinced that the Kamari and the Tellarites attacked the Kamari. Like, he's dead set. Of course he is. Yeah. You know, he's looking at his sensor.
He saw the ship, and he saw.
And they already don't trust each other. So that's something that I didn't really explain. The Tellarites and the Andorians do not get. None of these people get along.
Well, they've been at war for 1,000 years.
Yeah, and the Andorians don't get along with them. They don't get along with the Vulcans. I don't think the Tellarites get along with the Vulcans very well either. Like, everyone. And all of these species, for those who don't know, are in the same sector. So yeah. The humans, Andorians, Vulcans, and the Tellarites. That's why if you look at the United Federation of Planets, it has the four stars.
Yeah.
That's because it's our sector. Just a little backstory for you.
The more you know.
Hate each other.
The more you know. Ding, ding.
That's right. So it's kind of crazy because they all hate each other. Then the humans like, hey, look, guys, I invented the warp drive in the middle of 1,000-year conflicts.
Right.
Like, right away. So rolling into act. Wait. They could call T'Pol hails Archer, tell him that the Enterprise has detected the Andorian ship.
Oh, yeah.
Is on an intercept course. On the bridge, Hoshi, I'm fucking reading it for some reason. Hoshi fails to contact the Andorian vessel, which soon attacks Enterprise. So, Act Two, bro. I think the problem is I didn't watch the episode the same day I'm recording. So now I'm like, wait, what? What happened?
You do have a shitty memory, so you know.
I do. The Andorian ships look fucking dope. They kind of look like Star Wars ships.
Yeah, a little bit.
They kind of like slap together, and it makes sense because they're always at war, so their ships look very like warlike. Like, they don't look pretty. So.
That Andorian ship was kicking the shit out of Enterprise.
Yeah, the Andorians, quote unquote, the Andorians have better technology. They have shields. I think their technology matches the Vulcans, at least enough to not be obliterated by them.
Yeah, I think so.
So,
but they've also been at war for 1,000 years. So,
and as we know, war pushes technology. So. Bring on more. I don't know. I'm starting shit. So now they're being attacked. No one's answering hail. Shran tries to hail the ship. They're ignoring him too, which he does not like. and then they go, you got to give me some. Arch is basically like, you got to give me something. And give me like the way to break into this and this and that. And Shran, of course, understandably, doesn't want to give up that information. But then he reluctantly says, fuck it, because he doesn't want to die too.
Right.
And he goes over and targets the shield. He shows him where the shield generator on the ship is. And they pop it. Or they attack the shield generator, and strangely, nothing happens. And Sharon's like, what? It's fucking impossible. And then the power grid of that vessel shown, like, it's fucking up. Like, it's fluctuating, and then it takes off.
Yeah.
So it was just weird. And I kind of picked up on that too. Like Shran's confusion made me immediately be like, that ain't no fucking Andorian ship. That ain't no moon, motherfucker. You guys out here playing.
It's a space station.
So now they're in the briefing room, right? T'Pol is showing Shran the energy signature from the Andorian ship matches the Tellarite one that attacked them. And of course, Shran isn't buying it because he never does. Shran never believes anything at first.
No.
His default is fuck you, which I respect.
His immediate is that it's a fucking lie. That's it. Yeah. That's his immediate default.
And that's something, you know, for those who don't know, again, Andorians tend to be a little bit paranoid. I don't know if that's a racial trait or they've just been fucking harassed by the Vulcans for so long.
I think it's probably a little bit of both, because they were at war with the Andorian or the Vulcans for a long time.
The Andorians behave like an occupied society, right? Or one that was recently occupied. If you think of like a Middle Eastern state or something like, or like fucking any country that was occupied by another, they act like that. They're paranoid. They're always looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
You know? So Archer shuts down the disrespect real quick because he starts talking shit to T'Pol. He's like, why would I trust some Vulcan or something like that? And he goes, you're talking to my first officer. I was like, oh, shit. And Shran backed off, too. And by the way, I don't think these people like each other. Tellarites and the Andorians, they really hate each other. T'Pol is T'Pol is officially single and ready to mingle, bro. Because they, I forget where they were. The captain and her are speaking.
Yeah, and he said that they're in the captain's mess because he's not because he doesn't eat, you know.
Yeah, and she said that her husband sent a message that said their marriage is officially nulled.
Yeah, because they said maybe they're better with the Vulcans to get the Vulcans. She's like, I don't know. And he goes, you received a message from Toshi says you received a message from Vulcan. Then she was like, well, I didn't really want to tell you, you know, because I didn't want to put it up as my status profile, you know.
She said a personal message, but then she relented. He didn't ask that, you know, people are. Yeah. If I don't want to tell, but I'm going to tell you. Yeah, it's like, okay. Like,
yeah. And then he's like, I'm sorry. As he was unzipping his pants, I was like, I think it might be a little too soon, but you know.
No, it's not soon enough, to be honest. The way to get over, man, is to get under another one. No, but she says that, and he even says, I'm so sorry, and she says, don't apologize, it's fine. Like, she doesn't care. But this isn't, you can tell this isn't a Vulcan don't care. I think she legitimately is not bothered by it. Like, she just wasn't invested in that relationship.
Well, she didn't want it, so.
Yeah, you know. So she didn't give a shit. So now it cuts, Kos is his name. So we get cut to an alien in space. An alien's vessel continues its course, and it pulls in to a large dark room, and then you're suddenly reminded that the Romulans are involved. I completely forgot.
Yeah, I started thinking like, because I was starting to think like, I was like, oh, you know what? I think it's the Romulans, because they said, yeah, who would be the only people that would be against this? And I was like, the Romulans or the Klingons.
Or is it the Borg pretending to be the Romulans, pretending to be the Andorians? See, you know, you never know. Also, by the way, we have Jeffrey Combs and Brian Thompson in the same episode, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know how they did the budget managed to have both of them on there.
Brian Thompson, I'm losing it right now, but he played a famous Klingon. And a couple other – he's not as seasoned of a Star Trek resume as Combs, but definitely did some work. And he has a very imposing stature.
And that voice, dude.
Yeah, he's someone you catch a dude in a bar and he stands up and you're like, listen, bro, I ain't trying to get no issues.
You know what? Words were spoken mistakes were made.
Mistakes were made, but let me get that drink. You feel me? Dude, I've done that before. I told somebody that one time. I was in a bar with some friends, and one of my friends popped off at the mouth drunk.
Of course.
And I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. He's like, oh, fuck that pussy. You know, and now this crew over here is like, what the fuck? And they stand up. These dudes were huge. They're fucking monsters, bro. Like, we're all office workers. They're fucking, there was three of them. And they look like they worked on, like, trucking or something. Like, they lifted trucks. I don't know what the fuck they did. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Like, so literally lifted trucks. Like, they didn't use anything to lift the trucks. They themselves lifted the trucks.
My other friend, so the girls have disappeared, as they always do. Right. And my other friend was like, are we fighting?
They were just pulling a trip. You know, they were just like, grabbing right. the drinks and moving away. Drinks, get out.
So I just instantly, like out of instinct, I go, fellas, come on. We're here to have a good time. Let me get you around real quick. Come on. My friend is drunk. You know, and they immediately, you buy someone around, they're going, all right, you know, it is what it is. And then I told my friend, I looked at my drunk friend, and like he was my child, I said, go sit the fuck down. Almost got me killed, bro. Anyway, because it was three against three, but my friend was drunk as fuck.
So it's three against two.
Three against two. I know how to fight, but I haven't done it in a while. And my other friend is a nerd. He didn't know how to do anything. So it's me against three, essentially. Maybe I could use my other friend as a shield. You know, I was like, nah, I ain't fighting these people. Fuck out. I'm too old for this shit. Anyway. Now we're rolling in Act Three, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, the ship is sexy. The Romulan ship. Oh, I've never seen this kind of Romulan ship.
It kind of reminded – I'm trying to remember. It reminded me of a ship. Oh, I remember what it reminded me of. Whoever designed this ship was an 80s anime fan because the way the ship was designed, it reminded me of the Zentradi ship from Robotech.
That's what it was. Bro, I was thinking of an animation.
Yeah.
When I saw it. It's definitely Robotech.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It reminded me. I was like, it took me a little bit because I'm watching. I kept watching. I'm like, the Zentradi. Because the way the little emitters at the front of the ship and the way it was just kind of round and kind of like bulbous. I was like.
It looks like a ship from EVE Online, but I bet you they got this inspiration from the same source.
Yeah, because the Robotech came out in the early to mid 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robotech was a shit. I need to rewatch that, bro.
Dude, they just remastered all the series.
Did they?
Yeah, on Blu-ray. I got season one. I'm going to pick up season two, which was the Robotech Masters, and I'm still waiting to find the third one. But I heard because they just Harmony Gold just redid they officially got the licensing straightened out for US. So they remastered all of them on Blu-ray.
Oh, God. And, guys, audience. Countrymen, lend me your ears. Robotech. That I watched that, you know, I was a little young when it came out. I don't even think I was around when it came out, but I watched that shit on the Sunday was when, you know, they used to play them 80s cartoons. Mm. They played the old ones in the 90s. Fucking Robotech was the shit.
Dude, I remember watching it when it came
out. That was on after Transformers in the 90s.
I remember when watching it when it came out in the 80s, it was like I would make it home after school. I think I was in junior high when it came out. And it was funny because I got turned on to it because a friend of my brother who literally just graduated high school started watching it. And then I was like, this is a cartoon? He goes, yeah. He goes, you should watch it. And then I remember watching it and it came on at like I would just make it home from school, like 3:30. And then I think it came on at 4. And then
now this is when we say anime, this is that old school 80s, 90s style anime. The animation is so fucking detailed. It's gorgeous.
Oh, I have
fucking gorgeous.
I got when in the early 2000s, they released a 2-disc CD of all the music from all Robotech.
Oh, the music was fire too.
Dude, every time I'd get to that, so I have it up on my iPod and every once in a while I'm just like,
this show was so crazy. Like, it was way ahead of its time for American audiences. Even in the 90s when I watched it, I was like, who the fuck drew this? Like, I was like, Jesus Christ. Anime's on another level.
Yeah.
New school anime is a little – it's a little simpler. It's not bad, but it's a little simpler. But back in the day, 90s anime is my favorite animation style.
Lately,
it's gorgeous.
Since the Top Gun Maverick came out and they did the whole, you know, they kind of recreated the original opening from Top Gun in the new one. People started taking the Macross, which it was taken from the origin of Robotech really quickly. Because we're actually
a Robotech podcast.
Yeah, I know. It's like really quickly, it was actually three different animes. They had no connection to one another. And when they decided to do them into an Americanized version, they actually they rewrote the shows to create it to where all three of them would be three different generations. So you had three shows that had nothing to do with each other and then became one saga when they rewrote it. It was the
Robotech is a dope DC comic too.
Oh yeah. I remember
that. Yes, sir. And it went on for a long time too.
Yeah. And it's just, it was one of those shows that just really was great to watch. And when you get the Blu-ray version, they come with digital codes so you can get it through Funimation and stream it all online.
Oh
yeah.
Oh.
So
I need some water. I'm thirsty. Yeah, that's cool. We need to move off of that. But
my whole point to that was when they did that, they actually used the footage from like Robotech and Macross and those shows and recreated the whole and did kind of it with Danger Zone. So they started doing it like with from Top Gun. They kind of made the opening Top Gun and they did it with Top Gun. Some of that shit was great. I sent it to Patrick, who loved Robotech too, and he was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Oh no, I'm buying Robotech as soon as I have the money. I totally forgot about that show and you just opened a vault in my brain. And I'm tripping. I liked Robotech more than Transformers, and I know in some circles you can get jumped for saying that shit. But yeah. I thought Robotech was better than Transformers.
We should do an episode of the Lazy Geeks of just talking about some of the old cartoons, like 80s and 90s cartoons.
I'd be so down with that.
Yeah.
Because I was so in it, bro. Come on, dude.
Maybe we'll do that as a pickup episode for like over Thanksgiving or something like that. When we don't record, we can do a little mini-sode and put that on there.
We could do like a top five or whatever.
Yeah. Or even just talk about some of the shows. Even shows that like going, oh my God, nobody talks about this show anymore.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Well, you guys got some behind the scenes of the Lazy Geeks Corporation now. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah, we trust you guys. We'll keep this to yourselves, all right?
Just you guys. You
just
know,
you
it's
guys,
fine.
Right.
Don't tell anyone else because they don't care and you'd be wasting your time.
At you like, what?
What the fuck are you talking about? So Act 3.
You need to touch grass. That's what you really need to do.
So Act 3, we're back on the Enterprise. And Enterprise is following the trail, basically, to find these assholes. And they find the ship, right? And it's chilling. And they see a lot of multispectral emitters and subspace transceivers, and they're kind of confused. They're like, why do you need so many? Like, it's weird, but we will find out soon. Then it surprised me. They send Trip over there. I'm like, after last
motherfucker nearly died. Motherfucker died last week, and yeah,
I would have broke out into a cold sweat. Yo, let me take a day off, Coach. Matt can't be doing this shit. But he went anyway. Romulan ship looks dope as fuck.
Yeah,
and we've already pointed it out, but I put it in the notes. So
I like the fact that they're using the transporter in this season as opposed to the shuttle pod.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
So
Trip goes over there with Malcolm himself and
a Mako.
Two Makos.
Is it two Makos?
Yeah.
I thought it was just one.
No, because those were the two that got beamed back, remember?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And
that chick got that cool little slow motion right behind
it. Yeah, that was dope. So they beam over there. And what did I put this? Oh, switch to auxiliary. So at some point they're fighting or whatever because they get attacked again while everyone's over there. And
because before that the ship was just sitting there because they were trying to repair the propulsion thing. the Romulans were.
Oh, yeah, right. Now I'm caught up. I was missing a piece, and it was slowing me down.
Because we got fucking Daft Punk in this episode.
Bro, Daft Punk with two Nintendo Power Gloves on, controlling the ship. And they never explain it. No. Like, this isn't how Romulans pilot their ships. What is this?
The way the masks look, like, it was like Daft Punk, but at the same time, I kept thinking of that robot from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
For real. You know what it looked like? It looked like a Breen. I was like, they working with the Breens, bro? What the fuck is this? Yeah, so...
I expected him to come out with some, like, major, like, some synth come out. Like, suddenly he starts playing this, like, synth orchestrational music, you know? It's like something really just like, whoa, it's like Beethoven, but in synth. You know, that's kind of what I kind of felt with the way with all the wires and the power glove and all that shit. In the background, you hear, like, what did they used to say? What did Nintendo say?
Now you're playing with power.
Yeah. Now you're playing with power.
Sega does what Nintendo don't. That was always the most disrespectful one. Like, Sega, calm down. So while they're over there, they're suddenly thrown to the deck because the fight ensues. Something goes out. I forget what it is, but they say the primary something goes out, and then Archer says switch to auxiliary. And then I thought to myself, shouldn't she not have to be told that?
Yeah.
And we all know they're doing it to fill up space and be more dramatic and stuff for the show. When you start being meta about it, you're like, why would she, like, what is she fucking new? Like, what the fuck? So the transporter takes a union break, of course, because now that they've started to use it,
right,
it's going to start breaking.
We start getting that Star Trek trope of the transporter's right. Always like.
So the primary phase coil is fused. That's what fucks up the transporter. Christmas tree lights won't turn on anymore. So they have to leave and they can't get Trip or Reed. They were able to beam out the Makos.
But you know what was actually cool about that part was, like, he goes, like, we can't take this, you know, he goes, he says, like, he says something to the effect that we can't get you back, the transporter's out. And both Reed and Trip were, like, understood. Like,
that was G shit. And in Trip, we even said, get him out of here first.
Yeah.
That's G shit, dude. Like, that's how a senior officer needs to be.
When they said to get the Makos out of here first. And then when he's like, we can't take this and we need to move away, Malcolm is like, understood. And I was like, going, and you think it's that bitch hates Reed? Like, this is a motherfucking G over here that's sitting there going, like, he's like, nah,
Reed doesn't get enough love. Mm. Reed is the shit, dude. I'm telling you.
Big dick swinging over here in the 22nd century.
Then they leave, and then they show Trip and Reed kind of look at each other, and I go, Trip and Reed on another zany adventure, bro. So
all these things we get into, right? Right, Malcolm?
For real. So they're running away from the fucking Romulans. The Romulans are matching them. I say warp 5 has been slow as fuck from season 1 because it's constant. Everyone can go faster. Then all of a sudden they go 5.06. I'm like, wait a minute. When did they start doing that? So I'm tripping out. They're overloading. It's because Trip's not there, so they're fucking overloading shit with the blow coils.
Right. And they don't have Trip going, hey, don't fucking do this shit.
And then this is some more G shit. So they're like, they're running out of oxygen. So we're back with Trip and Reed.
Oh, because he gets his
Reed's suit gets compromised.
Yeah, because that flexing thing that goes to his air supply gets pulled out. So he loses a bunch of air before Trip goes ahead and gets it connected again.
Right.
So they got duct tape and some gum. That's just how MacGyver you do it.
A Star Trek, bro. So, you know, whatever, they fix that, but they go, there's no oxygen where they are, right? Because it's not a place where people should be. and Reed goes, I bet they have oxygen on the bridge. And then Trip goes, I'm sure they won't mind sharing. I was fucking dying, bro. So It cuts to the bridge of the Romulan ship, and the one dude is telling the senior officer Thompson, the Thompson actor, the big guy, telling him that basically, I told you so. Like, he's like, I told you this was going to happen. And he's like, get his asshole off my prison. He's fucking hating his eyes. He's like, sick of it. Always getting disrespected on his own fucking bridge. So Enterprise has moved out of sensor range from the Romulan ship. They outran him. We're finding this out on the Romulan ship. Valdor, who is the main Romulan dude, says they can't let them escape. Typical, you know, bad guy shit. And that's pretty much that. Just, oh, because the ship's a prototype, so they don't want anyone to know about it.
Yeah.
And we also find out somewhere in here, I forget exactly where, but we find out that they've been using holographic emitters to look like other ships.
Yeah, because earlier on they mentioned that the emitters were holographic, so they could fire, because that's the different emitters were like Romulan, or was Andorian, and that's why they were able to synthesize the particles yeah. from that, but they couldn't cover their warp signature, because they said, because when they were chasing the Andorian ship, they're like, it stopped, and it's like, and this ship is here, so if they the only thing they couldn't do was mask their warp signature,
right? So it was pretty, at the end of the day, it was pretty easy for everyone to figure out what the fuck was going on. But I mean, I think the Romulans were hoping that no one, they would be in and out quick enough that no one would be able to really think about it.
Which is what I try to do every time I hook up with someone. Right.
Typical Star Trek fashion. No one expects humanity to show up and start fucking stuff up.
Humanity particularly in Enterprise, is the fucking Scooby-Doo gang.
Yeah, for real. And they're always, it's always, we would have got away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling humans every fucking time, exactly. Bro. And I love it. So we roll into Act 4.
Then we should stop calling the Enterprise and just call it the Mystery Machine.
For real. So they reiterate.
But who would be Scooby?
Mayweather, because he never taught. So T'Pol reiterates that this might have happened now, actually, that the alien ship is neither Andorian or Tellarite. But there's an extreme possibility that it's a Romulan design. And then she says, I did say it's a remote possibility. I was like, watch your tone, girl. You're fucking a... You know what it reminded me of is that skit, that Trading Spouses skit from the Chappelle Show, when she says, you don't do much of anything around here. And Dave Chappelle goes, watch your tone, girl. Use your inside voice or I'm going to put you outside. I say that shit to my wife all the time. They start talking about an alliance. And I go, an alliance? Or do you mean a federation? Cue the music, dog. So yeah, blah blah blah. The the catch responds that he doesn't know anything about humans. So they're kind of just all talking or whatever. I know this isn't as well put together as the other episodes. I apologize, okay? We recorded a day later and I can't remember what I watched.
Because he ate too much spaghetti.
Bro, there's someone listening that will know. I overindulged some spaghetti. My stomach was sour for the entire day, bro. And by the time I hit the night, I was like, I can't do this. I just want to lay down. And just die. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, because I did. Because what happens there is that Trip and Malcolm are still looking for the bridge, and they're going to the top. And then I think
right, it's that's Malcolm, the whole part I'm forgetting.
Yeah, Malcolm goes like, "Well, no one said the bridge has to be at the top."
Yeah, which is a good point.
Yeah,
it probably makes more sense for it not to be on the top.
Yeah,
if you make sense, if you really think about it.
And then Shran decides that he wants to interrogate the Tellarites.
Oh, this shit was funny. I remember this. So Shran's little girl opens the door, and there's a Mako on the outside. And she's fucking in her skivvies. And she's like, oh, you know, trying to fucking be sexy with him. Good on the Mako. He was like, get this thought out my fucking face, bro. He wasn't feeling it at all. But she did distract him long enough for Shran to hit him over the fucking head.
And then, but the hand to hand between them, I was like going, oh, he had hands,
bro. I'm telling you.
I mean, he, eventually he got, you know, knocked the fuck out, but he was holding up against her.
There's a little, now we're in a scene where Shran basically, he's not taking over the ship, but he's trying to get to the Tellarite room. And let's just say Shran's a fucking professional, but this motherfucker infiltrated that damn room. I was like, God damn, bro. Oh, I said, good on the Mako for not taking the bait. And then the next time I said, I mean, he still caught those hands, but kudos, Brad. So now back on the Romulan ship real quick. He goes, activate internal sensors. And I'm like, why are they always off? Like, shouldn't you have those on?
Well, I mean, if the ship...
It's a stealth ship, though. They might just have things turned off.
And it looks like it. There might not be... There's nobody on it. So yeah. It's kind of like, okay, well, maybe they don't need internal sensors.
Oh, and then a little oversight. They find oxygen, and he goes, oh, it's pure oxygen. Here you go, and hook the hose to it. I'm like,
You're right.
I was like, humans don't breathe pure oxygen. I was like, you guys would be fucking dead. Get oxygen poisoning. But whatever. No one knows. No one knew that in 2005. Everybody, it was the dark ages. So, and this is where I said, dude in the driver's seat of the ship looks like a Borg with two Nintendo Power Gloves and a Daft Punk helmet. That's exactly what the coach, and he does too. If you see it,
yeah,
you'll know.
I mean, it's funny too because you kind of expected like the soundtrack to Tron start playing it.
Yeah, for real. It's like, are we entering the fucking grid, my boy? Where are we going?
Jeff Bridges' voice comes up over there.
So no one's on the bridge at this point. It's just the fucking, the chairs empty, everything. And I honestly, honest to God, even when I watched it, I was like, where did everybody go?
Yeah.
I think they breezed over where they went. I think they abandoned the ship, of course. But then I'm sitting there like, why would you abandon the ship? You didn't want anyone to see it.
Right.
I was like, whatever. Romulans don't make any fucking sense. And then then we're back on the Enterprise. I said, Andorian, stay fucker. They was jumping out of fucking air vents and shit. I was like, what the fuck? You only had to go up a level.
Fucking Andorian ninjas over here and shit.
Bro.
I don't understand because the way the Makos behave in Enterprise, they're so much better than the red shirts in any of the other Star Trek incarnations. Like, why do they not keep Makos? You know?
Yeah, for real. There was something, there was something that the Romulans had.
Well, I think it was. Well, no, because we're almost at the end of the episode, and Shran gets into the Tellarite.
Go ahead and explain that.
Yeah, so with this whole little fucking Andorian ninja shit going on, Shran gets into the Tellarite. Quarters, and he starts trying to interrogate the Tellarite, admitting that they actually attacked the Andorian. And of course, the Tellarite's like, I don't know the fuck you're talking about. And the Makos get down there, and the Makos get down there, and Archer is leading them, which I'm not sure why.
That makes no sense. They call him and go, hey, the Andorians are in the town. I'll be right there. Why, motherfucker?
So they make it inside. Him and some Makos came inside.
Better get Mako.
And yeah, exactly. And he's basically using logic to say like, hey, you know, you're not going to get anything out of here. And you know, he was threatening to kill him. And I'm thinking, dude, you kill him, they're going to kill you. Like, you're not getting anywhere. So Archer. To calm him down.
It's a Mexican standoff, essentially. Yeah.
And he, racist. And he,
it's not so, racist, that's what it's called.
So Archer and the Makos kind of put their guns down. So he does too. And then, so.
All the Andorians lower their weapons.
Which is, there's only two. It's Shran and his chick.
Right.
She puts the gun down. And fucking the Tellarite ambassador's, I don't know what the fuck, homie dude, decides to pick it up and shoots the chick. And fucking
for nothing.
And fucking I think it was the Mako just went pow.
He caught that shit, bro.
He caught it. Like, he immediately, he's just like, no question. Didn't wait for Archer. Just went, pop, pop.
Because a well-trained militia doesn't require orders at all times, okay? They already know.
Oh, man. And, you know, she says it was just a... she pulled a fucking...
Hit her shoulder or something.
She pulled a Monty Python. It's merely a flesh wound. Yeah. And so they calms everything down. Then we end up, you know, that's when you see the bridge is empty. And then it cuts to the bridge again, and you see the Borg with the Daft Punk helmet and the power gloves, doing the little fingery things. Oh, that's what the fingery things with the power glove with that thing reminded me of that game Data and that one guy played.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like, a reuse of that. And, the Romulan dude is, you know, like walking. I don't remember. He says something. I don't remember what it is. And then he walks to what looks like the window. And then we get a tight on him on the window and we start pulling back. And they're not even on the ship. They're in fucking Romulus.
Yeah, that tripped me the fuck out. Then I was like, oh, that's what happened.
I literally came.
These bitches ain't even there. Oh, and then I said, the Romulans always have the coolest shit, bro. They're not even fucking there. Seriously, though, all through Star Trek, the Romulans always have the dopest shit. Yeah. Except for the original series, they didn't. But like in TNG, like there, I remember it's like, oh, there's the Romulan ship. Oh, it looks like a big bird. And then you find out, yeah, they don't have a warp core per se. They're powered by a fucking singularity. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why are these people so fucking cool? But yeah, so
and that ends part one.
That's the episode. Yeah, my brain burnt out. I couldn't remember the end until you started talking about it. But the that was a good episode, man.
Yeah, I dug it.
Good start to an arc. I'm hoping that we continue this momentum throughout the arc and it'll just fall off. But anything with Shran in it's usually good.
Yeah.
Shran
always makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, he does.
I love how he calls humans pink skins.
I know. You know, there's other... You see Mayweather go, yo.
That would actually be weird. It's like pink skin, dark skin.
It's like, I don't know what to say here.
Right? Am I going to come off as racist? I'm not sure. Should I?
We're all blue. So I don't... I'm gonna leave. All right. He just takes off.
He just looks around and just throws his hands up and walks up. Oh shit. All right, so productions, are you there? Did you mute yourself again? I think you...
No, I didn't mute myself again. I did.
I was like, it was perfectly quiet over there.
shut up bitch. Production notes. Not too many this time. The final draft of this episode's script was submitted on November 1st, 2004.
Oh, hey, tomorrow for us. As the day we're recording. We're recording this on
the holiday. It's the anniversary. Okay. Lee Ehrenberg, who plays the Tellarite Grawl, had previously played another character named Grawl, a Ferengi, in Deep Space Nine, the Nagus. For depicting Romulus in this installment, CGI effects were used, obviously. I didn't think they built Romulus.
It took us a couple of months to build Romulus.
Right. Romulus wasn't built in a day, Steve. The episode's final shot reuses a CGI model of the Romulan capital city, which was originally created for the feature film Star Trek Nemesis. Of course, I mean, that makes sense. Romulus was so gorgeous in Nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. I liked Nemesis. A lot of people thought it was trash. I liked it a lot.
I liked it, too. It was darker.
It was darker, yeah. It didn't feel as much like a Star Trek adventure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. The next-gen movie before that, you know, Picard was dancing in his quarters doing the merengue.
Yeah, that one was silly, too.
Yeah.
But I liked it. And I like any Star Trek. Whatever. This episode...
When Troy's talking about her boobs, I'm in, you know?
Aren't we all? This episode serves as a prequel
to Motorboating motherfucker.
The Journey to Babel. The Mako Honor Guard detail that met Grawl in the launch bay was an homage to the honor detail that greeted Spock's father, Sarek, aboard the USS Enterprise in Journey to Babel. Archer and Shran enjoy Andorian ale yet again. It was previously seen or mentioned in Ceasefire and Proving Ground. Babel 1 represents the first time that Romulus is seen on the series, and every occasion that it has previously appeared in a television series, it has been depicted using a matte painting rather than CGI. Well, that's because it was fucking back in the day. This episode was first broadcast on the UPN network.
Right after Homeboys from Outer Space.
That's right. The real gem of the UPN. On January 28th, 2005, hitting a series low for viewership. Only 2.5 million people watched. A few days after Babel 1 aired, Star Trek Enterprise was officially canceled by UPN. Unlike most canceled series, the plug was not immediately pulled. UPN and Paramount allowed the show to complete filming its final season and 22 episodes. It's a shame because this feels really good, but I think a lot of people fell off in the third season.
Yeah.
And then it was too little too late.
Like I did, because when we did season three, we didn't remember a lot of it.
Yeah, because we were like everybody else. We all fell off in season three. Yeah. Because season three got goofy.
And then I came back in season four because I think they moved it. And then I heard that the new showrunner was going to do a lot more origin stuff. So I was kind of interested.
It's all about Homeboys in Outer Space anyway. I sent you the link to the pilot episode of Homeboys. It's so bad, dude. Even when I was a kid, because that came out... I wasn't too young. I think I was a teenager when it came out. And I was like, this is fucking garbage. Like, Jesus Christ. I wonder what the Rotten Tomatoes is on that. Let's see. Let's go. Let's take a look. Okay. Homeboys.
I think it's one word.
And I know how to fucking say it. Oh, this came out in 96. I was not a teenager in 96. It has... no audience rating, which makes sense. And it's a 25%, which is actually better than I thought it was going to be.
Wow. Black Adam only got 5% more.
Where's Black Adam at now?
30.
Get the fuck out of here with that 30, bro. I'm out of here. No, Black Adam's actually at 40 now.
Oh, did it jump up?
40 and 90 audience score. Who are you going to trust, bro? The people that paid to see it or the people that were shown it for free just to shit on it, bro? First of all, if The Rock's in it, it's an instant at least 60. Keep it real. Okay? Black Adam's a shit, by the way. No review, but if you haven't seen it, I definitely suggest you go take a look. I really enjoyed it.
And if Adam enjoyed
it. That was Sarah's... the chick in that movie... in Black Adam was Sarah, I don't know how to fucking pronounce her last name. Okay, I sound racist, and I'm not even trying.
Usually he tries a lot harder to be racist.
Usually I don't have to try at all, you know what I mean? She was in a bunch of TV shows. What was the fucking main show that she was in? She was in the L Word, but nobody cares about the L Word. Fairly Legal. That was the main show she was in. She was the headliner. She's a lawyer. I'm sure you could have worked that out from the title, but she's also hot. I didn't realize it was her. Baron Vaughn is the one who plays Hawkman. Is it? No. He's from this show. I'm tripping. I'm tripping now. I'm falling down a rabbit hole. It's Aldous Hodge. Aldous Hodge. I just had to correct that real quick. Aldous Hodge, please. An amazing fucking Hawkman. Okay, moving on. Good episode. We'll be here next week for the part two of
what is Star Trek Enterprise. What's next week's called? I haven't checked
down. It's called Big Booty Bitches.
Hold on. Big Booty Bitches, Big Booty Bitches. I fucking loved the Boondocks, man. Every time a rap song came on, Big Booty.
The next
United,
which is this the title of this arc is Romulan Interference. This one actually first aired February 4th, so they had like a holiday break or something. which was normal back then when you're doing 21 episodes a season.
Yeah.
Because they were filming them while they were airing them.
Archer tries to unify the Andorians, Tellarites, humans, and Vulcans in a plan to capture a Marauder ship threatening to destabilize the region.
And hoping that his next leap can be the leap home.
You know what would have been... Oh, my God. Instead of that shit that we got for the finale of this, like when Archer steps out to make that speech this is the three part series where we get to meet the Enar, the white skinned Andorians. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, so when the
I still miss that cat from fucking
Strange New World. Yeah,
it's sad how he went, but yeah, he was dope.
But he went as a G though.
Yeah, fuck yeah, he did.
But when we got the finale of Enterprise, when Archer steps out to go make that speech on to the formation of the Federation, it would have been awesome if he stepped out and then all of a sudden you just see it start going into white light and then you just, you know, like he leaps out. That would have been amazing.
I think we just miss Quantum Leap. Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.